Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Marnie Svedberg, and I welcome you to Marnie and Friends, a place where leaders share practical, helpful, and encouraging ways to get anything important done faster, better, and smarter. Right now, I encourage you to sit back, buckle up, and join us for fun, laughter, practical help, and clear thinking, the kind of discussion that focuses our attention off of the fluff and onto the most important stuff in life. Again, welcome to Marnie's Friends. Let's get going.
Hey, everybody, this is Marnie, and so glad to be with you today. I just got back from a week-long celebration vacation with the love of my life, David Svedberg, as we were celebrating our 30th wedding anniversary just 2 days ago. And we are going to air today a replay, which we usually don't do hardly ever, but this interview was done with Dave and I and the pastor who married us. We aired it first on February 14th of this year, our 30th year of marriage. And we have had so many people comment about it that it was really helpful, not only because they enjoyed the information, but because we were really honest. And that was helpful to them as they tried to get their thoughts around how to make a marriage last for 30 years and how to work through some of the harder issues and some of the differences that we have. So right now I'm going to go ahead and press play, and I hope you're going to love this interview that we did with Roger Stacy. Was the pastor who married us, and actually we got to have dinner with him and his wife Myrna just 2 nights ago in Minneapolis when we were there on our honeymoon night, and I feel like it was kind of, again, a honeymoon night. We had so much fun. We stayed in the same hotel chain that we'd been in for our honeymoon, and it was just very fun to go back and look what God has done over the last 30 years. So I hope you enjoy this interview, and I will just go ahead and get it going right now. Well, hi, this is Marnie Svedberg. Welcome back to another edition of Marnie's Friends, and I'm excited today to have two of my awesome friends on the line with me. We are coming up to Valentine's Day 2013, and today's topic is long-lasting marriage, and I am excited to share the air this afternoon with my husband, Dave Svedberg, of 30 years, and also the pastor who married us, Reverend C. Roger Stacy. I suppose I met Roger when I was 14 or 15 years old, and he came to be the youth pastor at my church, and Roger saw the best and the worst of me and loved me still and kept investing in me and taught me so many things. One of the favorite things that he taught me was that if you want to love something more, invest more, and that's been hugely helpful in my life, and especially in my marriage. Roger is the director of church multiplication for the Minnesota District Assembly of God and a leadership mentor. Welcome, Roger.
Thank you, Marnie, and it's a joy to be joining you and Dave today.
And as we go forward, Roger's actually going to interview Dave and I about our marriage and about our lives, and you guys get to listen in on that. And the next person I want to introduce is, of course, Dave, my husband, and I've known Dave since I was 19 years old, and I've been his wife for 30 years now, and I'm really excited about still being his wife, and we're going to talk about that as we go on. But I once heard a radio preacher describe King David from the Bible like this. He was going along, and he was asking us some questions, and he was leading up to the fact that this was describing King David, but every time he asked a question, I would say, well, that's just like my Dave. And here were his questions. It was, who's the most handsome, muscular, good-looking man you know? And I thought, Dave? And then he said, think of the total outdoorsman you know, the hunter, fisherman, you know, the sportsman. And I thought, Dave? And then he said, and who's the guy that can do anything? Like, he can fix a car and build an addition on the house and manage finances and barbecue like a pro. Who's that guy for you? And I thought, Dave. And my chest was getting bigger and bigger the whole time I was listening to this preacher talk about King David, and I thought, that's the guy I got. So it's my great honor to introduce you today to my husband of 30 years, Dave Svedberg. Welcome to you.
I'm sure glad this is not on video.
Okay. Well, I've been doing these shows since 2009, and it's great to finally get you here on with me. And also, Roger, so excited to have you here today. At this time, I'm just going to pass the baton over to Roger and let you take it away.
Thank you, Marnie, and just a great privilege that after 30 years you're still celebrating your commitment to each other. It's been said that a successful marriage requires falling in love many times, always, of course, with the same person to a certain degree, you know. Although you're the same people, you know, Marnie, you're the same person you were 30 years ago, as are you, Dave, but yet in reality you're both different people because you've grown, you've changed. The real thing we're celebrating here today is that you have continued to fall in love even as you have stayed the same and changed. You know, Ann Taylor Fleming, you know, probably described you two guys pretty well, you know, when she described marriage as two people dancing a duet. while also dancing two solos at the same time. And because as you guys celebrate your 30th anniversary, you two really are an example of a couple who've chosen to make marriage work, make it enriching for each other, despite the fact that you guys really are kind of polar opposite. You know, you guys have total different personalities. We'll probably unpack that a little bit more as we go through the program today. But, you know, not only have Dave and Marnie stayed married for these last three decades, but they've also had the wonderful privilege of raising three great kids to adulthood, supported thousands of ministries and missions organizations through their entrepreneurial giftings. They built three businesses, and through those businesses have paid well over $1 million in wages to their employees. And just literally their lives and their ministries have improved the lives of just thousands of people over the course of these last three decades. As Marnie mentioned, I had the wonderful privilege of being Marnie's youth pastor during those years when she was a teenager, and Marnie not only was a natural leader among her peers, very gifted, had those entrepreneurial gifts that were very obvious even as a teenager. Marnie became a key leader in our ministry. But more than that, Marnie actually became just a great friend to our family. Marnie, I believe you might have been one of our kids' very first babysitters. At the time, we had a three-week-old son, and you actually became a part of the family and helped us in those early days when we were your youth pastor and starting out our parenting journey. So it's just been a joy to watch and to be a part of the journey with you. And she mentioned she met Dave. We had changed our ministry venue, and so Marnie decided that we needed to meet this young man that she had met that she so adequately described earlier, this David. And she brought David to visit with us in another community where we were at that time pastoring. And Dave and I found out we had some common things that we liked, all those outdoor things that Marnie alluded to. And in fact, Dave, I think one of the first things that we did is we got in the boat and we went fishing.
Right, yeah.
left the gals alone. And actually, Dave, I think I kind of began some of my premarital counseling a little bit early in the fishing boat with you.
Yeah.
We had a great day together, and it was just fun. But it didn't take me very long to realize that Marnie and Dave, you know, there's a little bit of a difference in personality, but there was something, though, and the way that you guys related and connected with each other that, you know, has been behind why you guys have stayed married these 30 years. I'm really excited today to be able to have this opportunity to just talk to you guys about your journey over these last three decades, what it's been like as partner entrepreneurs, as parents, and really as opposite personalities, and how you've made that work. And kind of one of the first things I want to know, Marnie, I alluded to the fact that you were one of my son's first babysitters. But I remember we were talking in some of the premarital counseling sessions that we had that child rearing was not going to be a high priority for you and Dave. That's one of the things. I wasn't sure that you guys were going to want to have kids and children, and encouraged you to keep an open mind about it. But in the end, obviously, you did have three wonderful children. And so tell us just a little bit about, you know, navigating that early decision in your marriage.
I think, Roger, when we first met you were in Babbitt, and I can remember driving up to what I thought was northern Minnesota and just thinking that this was really the ends of the earth. What happened to me is I actually got my first job in North Dakota, and that sort of sealed the deal with my marriage proposal to Marnie, you know, bring your own girls into North Dakota. And after a few years there, we ended up in War Road, Minnesota, you know, far north Minnesota. I think the location really changes your mind on kids and time. Children was a big decision, and it's been one that I continue to grow in. Marnie, how did you make up your mind?
And before we moved to War Road, we were in a Sunday school class, and our teacher was just going over how that part of the reason for marriage was to have children, was to procreate, and that we should, you know, receive that as a gift from God, that it was. And it was really the first time that I had ever been open to hearing that. Until then, I was just, well, first of all, I was never going to get married. So when Dave came along, that was like the surprise. Wow. Oh, wow. There's actually somebody I would consider marrying. And then the second one is I was never going to have kids. And God changed my mind about both of those things. And wow, am I ever glad that he did. So grateful.
That's wonderful. Yeah, and I'm sure your three children are glad you did, too.
Yeah, right.
Definitely. And we are, too. Man, it's been such a blessing. I mean, I was thinking yesterday about our marriage. You know, the only one in this family we actually choose to live with is each other.
Right.
And then the kids, I mean, God just gives them to you.
Kids, you know, they are a gift from God. Of course, as parents, we have the responsibility to steward those gifts well when you've been very faithful and creating the kind of environment that made it conducive for them to grow, mature, develop, and to most importantly, to develop a relationship with Christ. And Robert Anderson once said that, in changing the subject a little bit from parenting to some other issues, you know, every marriage more than a week old will find grounds for divorce. The trick is to find and continue to find grounds for marriage. So, Dave, you know, it's already been alluded to some of your love for the outdoors and, you know, having spent the, you know, the last 30 years of your lives up in northern Minnesota. You've had the opportunity to do some of the things you love, to camp, and, you know, Marnie loves hotels, and, you know, Marnie, you like things nice and clean and organized and planned out, and Dave, you're kind of into that subtle chaos stuff, you know, more that spontaneous thing, you know. You kind of do business from the ready, fire, aim philosophy. Marnie much prefers ready, aim, fire approach.
Slowly, ready, aim, fire.
Very planned out, very deliberate. Know where are you going, know what it's going to take to get there, know when to do it. You know, Marnie, you like to, you know, do that plan ahead thing, and you want to feel very prepared. But, you know, and Dave, you're just kind of, okay, a little more spontaneous. We can do it spur of the moment, you know. And bottom line is that if Dave, you know, probably if you was to do it one way, Marnie, her way of doing it would be exactly the opposite and vice versa. So the question is, how have you been able to live together and work together, realizing that you do have both totally different types of approaches to how you do things, and your personalities are different, and dancing that duet, even though you both have solo personalities? And Marnie, why don't we let you jump in first?
I think for the people who are listening that are newer in marriage than we are, less than 30 years, and maybe especially those first few years, I can just tell you that it gets better over time as you keep working at it. The first year, I can remember one day, the first year, it was a Saturday morning, and Dave was out in the garage working, and I was in the house, and I was making the bed in our bedroom, and I don't have a clue what I was so upset about, but I was so upset. And I remember, because I'm firmly believe that once married, always married. If this one didn't work out, I wasn't going to get married again. This was my only shot. And I think that that's really helpful, by the way, to have that perspective. And I think that's how God kind of thinks about marriage too. But anyway, I was up in my bedroom and I was shaking the sheets to make that bed. And with each shake of the sheet, I was saying, I would rather be single than live with this man another day. And I just remember just being so fed up so often, and realizing that I was stuck. And he was doing everything exactly the opposite of how I would want it done, or how I would have done it just a few months before. And I didn't know what to do with that. Over time, we developed some practices that helped us to make decisions that always didn't have to be a compromise. Sometimes one or the other of us could have it our way. We didn't always have to be compromising, but the compromise helps too. But just the realization that on the things that don't matter, let the other person have their way on that. And on the things that really matter to you, if you don't get your way, well, then just know that it's okay. God's got it. And I think that's been helpful to me. Dave, do you have comments there?
When we started going together, I really toned down a lot of the parts of me that would have turned you off. The one thing that sort of pulled us together in the whole thing was our relationship with God. I can remember one night in the car, you read to me a letter that you had written to God about the man you wanted to marry. And in my mind, I was saying, you know, I would really like to be that man. I can remember even in Grand Fork, the very first house we rented, and praying specifically for exactly the house we got. And a lot of the things in that house ended up being what we prayed for. Up in War Road, the man who brought me up here, the mentor, you can see God's hand working in it. And sometimes if you think that the marriage is your decision, it's really in a bigger perspective where God is actually developing you individually. And most of the processes he uses to develop you include a lot of friction to knock the rough edges off. And unfortunately, you know, the friction happens in marriage, but it does create a gem. It creates something worth saving.
I love that. I'm thinking about another time, too, when we were dating, actually, and I was recognizing that this partnership thing was going to be really hard for me because my parents told me they quit spanking me at 2 years old because it wasn't doing any good anymore. They had to find different ways to discipline me because I was so strong-willed that they could just spank and spank and spank and nothing changed. So they had to get real creative in their disciplinary process because of my determined strong will. And being involved in a relationship that made me lay that down all the time was real different for me, and I didn't know if I wanted to do it. And I remember one time we were driving, Dave, and I was really upset at you about something about your personality, and I have no idea what it was at the time, but it was really about you, who you were, not how you were behaving necessarily, but exactly how God had made you who you were. And you were quiet for a little bit, and then you just said to me, you said, you know, I could do that too, Marnie. I could sit here, and I could think of all the things that maybe I'd prefer you to be like that you aren't like, but I'm choosing to look at what's good about you, what I can love about you, instead of focusing on the things that aren't perfect. And I really took that to heart, obviously, because I still remember it today. But I've really tried to apply that through the years, too, and it isn't always easy, and I can't always do it. But as often as I can do it, that seems like that helps a lot. And I love being loved like that.
That's wonderful. Yeah, both of you, you know, just making assessments. It sounds to me like one of the decisions that you have made beyond the I do that you made 30 years ago was giving honor to one another, ultimately took precedent over other things, becoming what the other one needed and wanted to experience in their lives, and a willingness to become that for them, not for yourself. You know, a whole lot of marriage breaks down just simply around that whole issue of selfishness. And of course, I've heard both of you talk about a little bit about how you laid aside some of your own selfishness and a desire to become someone who would be a greater blessing to each other. Life is full of a lot of unexpected experiences, and Dave, you had mentioned about some of the things that come along, kind of like friction, you know, some of the things that have a way of knocking off some of the rough edges around us. And for every couple, trouble comes or difficulties come in a lot of different forms. It's been no different for the two of you and your family. In the midst of some of the difficulties that you guys have had, you can talk a little bit about those if you like. Did you ever consider splitting up, or was there a time when you actually did split up or thought about it to just do this alone and not have to face all this other stuff along with the challenges of trying to maintain a healthy marriage?
Early on in the marriage, we just made an agreement that we were not going to use the D word. I have not personally let my mind go to that as a possibility. I have thought of killing myself sometimes, but not divorce. My mentor in Warroad here, we had an agreement that he could shoot me if I ever became unfaithful or whatever, so that I wouldn't hold it against him if he would, you know, shoot me. So it's sort of dire sort of statements, but I think I wasn't willing to break it off in that way. So that puts you in the position that you either have to work it out or you have to just sort of step back and hold your peace. In all of in marriage, it's not like you understand yourself that well. You don't even know where you're coming from, much less where your wife is coming from. And what I'm finding now in my 50s, I'm learning about myself. I'm finding now that we're empty nests, it's driving me crazy, not having kids running around the house with that chaos. And I can't handle it. I'm learning this about myself at 55, you know, and that affects a relationship. So it's a process of discovery. I think if you look at the bigger picture, God is developing you, and he's creating character qualities, love, peace, patience, hope, kindness, gentleness. You know, a lot of those kindness you're not going to find in Dave. He's got to create them in me somehow, and all I know is if I get away from his training on this one here, it's only going to be a tougher lesson a few months later. So learn the lessons while you got them, because they only get harder as they go.
Marty, why don't you talk your observations of how you manage some of those unexpecteds that happen in life that make life just a little bit more challenging?
I think for me, too, not considering divorce, I know one time there was one very specific time, and actually, Roger, thought about you at this time, because I think there was one time in you and Myrna's marriage where it got really desperate, and that things were just looking not good for the home team. And one time he took on a project that was really huge, and he didn't really choose to take it on. It was one that was put on him. It was intensely stressful. There were unbelievably difficult deadlines that he had to meet. It was in a field that he had to learn about as he went on. He was responsible for lots of people, and it was very intense for several months. He would get up at 5:30 in the morning, work at the kitchen table, have breakfast with us, then go to work, and then work usually until 10:30, 11:30 at night. And I had little kids, you know, we had little kids at that time, and it was very intense for several months, very stressful in our home for several months. And I was managing it okay, not probably great or beautifully, but I was managing it okay until I got a cold. And I remember him becoming impatient with me for having a cold. Why was I acting like that? I should behave better when I had a cold. I shouldn't act sick. And I just remember looking at him and thinking, I can't do this anymore. If he can be like this for 3-5 months going on for his work, and I can't have a cold for a weekend, I can't be down for a weekend, I just thought, I can't do it anymore. And that thought got in my head, and I started to play with that thought. I can't do it anymore. I can't do this anymore. And that really did pull me down into a cesspool of, you know, bad feelings and feelings of longing to just be away from it, away from the stress of it. And I did actually consider leaving at that time, and that was the only time. And I knew I really didn't want to. I knew deep down I wanted the marriage more than I wanted the escape. So I think that's why. But I called a godly girlfriend, and I remember the conversation with her so well. And I would say things, and she would say, well, yeah, what do you think Jesus would want you to do? And she just kept turning my thoughts back to Jesus. And, of course, what we know for sure is that God fights for our marriages, even when we don't have any skill to fight for them ourselves or any more strength than God fights for them. And that's what he did that day for us. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful that I didn't run away, even for a short break. I'm glad I didn't run away. I'm glad I stayed. And, you know, over time, that particular stress, you know, worked itself out, and that was over. But, you know, there's been so many more. You know, we've just lived through so much together, fires and floods and a sinking boat and broken bones and hospitalizations and surgeries. And then Dave had a head injury, and we've had business setbacks. So many things come into our lives and flow through our lives. You just hold on to God, and you hold on to each other.
Yeah. That mooring that you guys continue to come back to, you know, that common commitment to Christ that you share, above all else, the desire to do what Jesus would want you to do. And it almost becomes the that default mechanism within us that really does help us make it through a lot of things, knowing that, like you said, Marnie, God really, in spite of all of the difficulties, God's perfect plan, we know what that is for us. All of these things sometimes will test that, yet God does give us the grace. God gives us the power. Elicit from us a determination and a renewal of the commitment of the I do that we said when we started the journey together.
There was something that happened after I had, you know, recommitted at that point to stay and to just work it through with Dave, this whole project that he was working on at work, and just get through that with him as a family. There was something that he said to me one night, and I was so sad. I said, when is this ever going to stop? When is this going to be over? How long can we do this? And he said to me, what if this isn't the real test? What if this is just the boot camp and we're supposed to be learning how to manage this stress level right now, manage this kind of intensity right now, and we're supposed to be learning this now, and the real test is coming? Well, at the time when he told me, it was just like, you know, the death blow. It was like, no, don't tell me it's going to get harder. But actually looking back, we've been in some situations that have been harder than that, where we didn't just work from 5:30 until 11:30, where we were working like in 2:30 into the morning and then get back up and do it the next day for several weeks going on, you know, together or separately in the projects we've taken on. So I think a lot of this is perspective, and Dave's an awesome one to give me perspective when I lose it. I appreciate that about him so much.
Yeah, as you mentioned, Dave does have that way of succinctly kind of just bringing things back to, you know, a good perspective. Got you back on track. 2013, these decadal, we get another 10 years down. It's a tremendous time to celebrate, and appropriately so. And Paul Sweeney said that these anniversaries really are a celebration of love and trust and partnership and tolerance and tenacity. It's just the order varies from year to year. So how would you describe this past year for you guys?
I think it's been a really great year. God had brought Marnie's sister and brother-in-law and their family up to our home at least for me, because I need to be around people. I don't necessarily need to be talking with people. I just need to have the commotion of people around us, and their family moved in with us, and I was doing my devotions, and in the Psalms, the verse had said that, and he brings a family to the lonely. So for supper that night, I pulled out and I said, you know, God gave me a verse today about your family. And I know why you had to come and live with us. It's because I was lonely. And I read that one, you know, God brings a family to the lonely. But through probably the worst thing that could happen to a family, to lose your health, lose your homes, lose Florida, and having to come up to northern Minnesota in the wintertime and spend it with a brother-in-law, for them, you know, it's such a blessing. We would never have spent a time with that family in our life. We would live and die and never know that family, but to be able to see the blessing in the hard situations and spend months together, I mean, it will be memories there are well worth, at least from my perspective. When we parted, you know, I would not have been related to any one of them without Marnie, you know, and not to have that in my life. None of it was due to me, and it was all through Marnie that I was able to have just that great time in my life.
Yeah, and I guess just a little bit about that, as my sister's husband had gotten sick, and so they had over time, you know, run into financial difficulty. More importantly, they were living on a boat, and he couldn't, because of the vertigo that came with it sickness, and he's had it for over 2 years now. They couldn't go back on their boat, and so they just were kind of bouncing from place to place, and they got to come and stay with us, and watching Dave prepare for them was, and even how he hosted them, but just watching him prepare for them melted my heart, how he, I mean, because Foster, my brother-in-law, is 6'5", and Vicky's 6', and he made an extension to the bed so it would be more comfortable. And, you know, he had me clear out all the closets and all the cupboard drawers and all the dresser drawers so they'd have plenty of places to leave their things. And, of course, they were just coming at the time. They were just coming for a few weeks. They weren't coming to live with us. But they ended up living with us for a while, which was just a tremendous experience for all of us to really get to know the boys. They have four boys, and to really get some time with them was awesome. And I think that for me this last year has been a lot of learning to be a better partner, just recognize, and in fact just in the last 2 years, just really recognize that if I would say up, he would say down. If I would say left, he would say right. And it's not because we're fighting. It's because that's how we are. And I think it took me all this time to figure out that he isn't just trying to make my life difficult, but that's really exactly how he is apart from me. And so to be able to embrace and to value that instead of fighting against it, or even worse than fighting against it, maybe feeling sorry for myself about it, that he wants to pick on me. No, it's just how he is. And isn't that crazy that that took so long to really comprehend that?
You've moved beyond just tolerating the differences. And I hear this from both of you, Dave and Marnie. Just the recognition is where you can actually appreciate, affirm, and leverage each other's differences in a way that just is enriching to both of your lives, and then obviously to those who have the wonderful privilege of coming under the umbrella of your home. I know for your brother-in-law and your sister, Marnie, your hospitality, the home environment that you and Dave have created there was a healing place for them. Well, that's wonderful. Is there a phrase or a verse of thought that you focus on during times when you just don't, you know, the emotive thing, the emotional feeling of love isn't there, that's helped you as you've tried to reengage with just kind of that emotional thing?
Well, I've seen growth in myself in that, too, because I remember years ago, I remember what it was. I would put a tape in. It was a scripture memory tape, and it was of the verse from Psalms that says, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And I have no one on earth except you." And I remember, you know, and it was all about me. The verse was all about me, but it actually was helpful because it would get my mind off of whatever pain I was experiencing emotionally with Dave. And oftentimes he would walk out the door to work, and I would put that in because he would have said a little word, or, you know, maybe even just the tone of voice, or maybe the rush of getting out the door, and it would have hurt my little feelings. And so then I would just run to Jesus, and I'm like, yeah, I don't have anybody in heaven but you, and I don't have anybody on earth but you. You're it, you're it, you're it. And, you know, those things pressed me into Jesus for many years in our marriage. I'd say, I don't know, over 10, I'm sure. I would take out my journal at that time, and I would just sit down, I would force myself. I would write it out. I would say, why am I going to stay married to this man? And then I would just write down why. Because God says so. Because I picked him. Because I said so. You know, and it was a lot, really, again, all about me, mostly. And more recently, maybe in the past, you know, 5-10 years, I've just adopted Philippians 1:9-10 to just quote whenever I have my feelings hurt, or maybe even not my feelings hurt so much anymore. That doesn't happen too often anymore. It still does happen, but not so often. And that should be encouragement for some of you girls listening. It gets better. You grow up a little bit. It does help just getting older, I think. But the one thing that I more frequently deal with is that he would make a decision that would not be the decision I would make. And at times these decisions might be worth a lot of money, or they might affect one of the children in a way that I wouldn't have done it that way. I feel like that's hurtful. And in those moments, I've just adopted, just kicking into this, and I memorized it, but it just, I just right away go into my conversation with God, and I just pray that Dave's love would abound yet more and more and extend to its fullest development, knowledge, and all keen insight, so that he may surely learn to sense what is vital and approve and prize what is excellent and of real value, recognizing the highest and the best and distinguishing the moral differences. And that's an amplified version of Philippians 1:9-10. But that's really been amazingly helpful to me, because just like during childbirth, labor, and delivery, I would do Lamaze, and I didn't have any drugs with any of the kids, but I would just do Lamaze, and I would actually focus on something beautiful, like a flower arrangement or something very lovely, and I would take my eyes off of the pain and put it onto something lovely. And by doing that, it reduced the pain tremendously, so much so I could still feel the pain, but it reduced it enough that I didn't have to use drugs. And that has worked for me in our marriage as well, when I'm in a lot of pain, to take my eyes off of the painful thing, or the person inflicting the pain, whether it's Dave or someone else, and to look at Jesus. And he's so lovely, and he has so much hope for us. So that's been really helpful to me.
I think one of the phrases Marnie sort of discovered into our marriage after a while was tides in, tides out.
Yeah.
Sort of looking at cycles that I may not enjoy being around you now, but later on I will. One of the biggest differences is she's female, I'm male. And that,
really?
That is just... I had never understood a monthly sort of a swing, and she didn't think she had one until she was around me. And you know, just trying to survive, I would try to figure out, where are we in the time of month? Is that what's causing it? And then Marnie would get so mad at me, blaming it on the time of the month. So I really, now they've got a smartphone app for guys so that they can...
Yeah.
Understand this tides in, tides out thing, and not even bring it up to their spouse or their partner there.
Yeah, that would have been helpful.
But I, yes. You know, I would just, you know, ask, you know, what time of month is it, Marnie? And then, you know,
wow.
If that really got her mad, then I knew I had hit. Okay, we're at the 2 weeks and we'll be good, you know. So just 2 more weeks, I think I'll work a little bit more at the office here.
I did. I'm kind of past that now, but I had terrible, terrible PMS, where the best illustration I ever can think of is the one night we'd gone to bed and we'd had romantic love and we went to sleep and we were love and love. And in the morning I went for a walk, and in the morning on my walk, all of a sudden I realized that I was thinking about ways to kill him. Literally, I was thinking about ways how I could do away with Dave. And I all of a sudden realized, wait a second. Last night I thought he rocked, and all he's done since then is sleep. Where did this thought come from? But, I mean, it was so, the emotional trauma of PMS for me was really huge, and, of course, it affected everyone around me. I love you, baby. I love you, love you, love you. Thank you for hanging in there.
Sort of nice at this time in life you don't have those cycles.
Yay, I know. Nothing about getting old.
For all of us that are sharing that time of life, we say amen.
We're celebrating,
amen.
That's right.
Quickly, just a handful of other things we do want to touch on here, a few more life zone issues. Faith. You know, obviously, each of your personal faith and your common faith is a very important part of your relationship. Talk to us a little bit about how you found common ground there. You both came from a little bit different backgrounds spiritually. And just talk to us just a little bit about how you kind of merged your experiences and forged a strong common faith that you share with each other today.
I think early in the marriage, we realized that we couldn't be God for the other partner, that God still was greater than us. We couldn't be all things. And I accepted that one really readily, probably to Marnie's detriment, that, you know, I can't be that for you. I'm going to go fishing, you know. And but I think at the end of my career, you know, where you've done everything the 40th time over and you're just frustrated with your job, and Marnie had taken up the task of praying for everybody in the world, going through the phone book and praying for each person individually, and that to me just blew my mind. And she stopped using an alarm clock in the morning and said God was going to be her clock, and seeing faith that was so simple and immediate, I knew I could never not use an alarm clock because I didn't trust God to wake me up. At that point, just realizing that I needed to get more spiritually involved with God or I was going to be dwarfed by my wife in eternity. It's a good challenge. You know, you can challenge that you're a witness to your partner that there is a living God, and you don't have to say it. You can just live it. It's pretty easy to see it. So Marnie was a big motivator for me to finally say, you know, I'm getting out of the job. We'll take the golden handcuffs off and we will strike out on our own and encounter whatever disasters we're encountering.
And we have, and God's been good. I think for me, thinking back to when we were first married, I came from Assembly of God background. Dave came from Evangelical Free background. And so we had some pretty, what I would call, irreconcilable differences in that area of our lives, as well as in several other areas of our lives where we just felt like we can't compromise on these. We just have to just stick with our guns and say, this is an area where this is who I am, this is how I am, and I'm going to love you and I'm going to be with you, but I'm not going to try to change you, and I can't let you change me about this. And what was beautiful to me is that over time, God kind of just showed us where he was in our marriage and in ourselves, and some of these things that used to be irreconcilable differences actually have been resolved over time in our faith as well as in other areas. And I think that God is so wonderful that way, where we can just say, okay, I don't agree with you on exactly every, you know, bit of doctrine or every bit of anything, but I choose to walk with you, beside you, not from the exact same perspective. And that really wouldn't be honoring to God, because he gave each of us our perspectives. So even in faith, I think that we can love without having common doctrine.
Okay. Well, let's move from faith to money. How do you guys decide how you manage your money and why? How do you spend your money? Who decides?
Well,
why?
We decided we're going to go with one checkbook, and I know a lot of couples decide, you know, the other way, to keep separate checkbooks and that sort of thing. But and as one checkbook, I don't know. I was making good money, and money probably wasn't as big of a struggle as it is in many marriages for us because of that. What's your thoughts, Marnie?
Yeah, well, Dave had some money issues to forgive me about early on, because I brought some debt into the marriage, and he had put himself through school and got all the way through his master's program and hardly had any debt. I mean, he just had a few little tiny college loans. And so for me to bring debt in when I didn't have that was very difficult for us in the early years. That was kind of one of the bigger problems that we had, was dealing with that side of things. But as far as money, I remember early on him saying, I don't want to have two checkbooks. I don't want to have your money, my money, or our money. I want to have all of it be our money, and we're just going to make this work. Now, I had seen couples do it the other way too, and I thought, you know, that makes a lot of sense to me, is that in everything we partner, and then, you know, you do kind of have to, if you don't get to have your money, then you do have to talk through the purchases ahead of time, and you do have to make some decisions that you wouldn't otherwise make. You could just make them on your own. And I think it was one of the key factors in helping me become a couple instead of just an individual, because I was so strongly individualistic. So I think that helped me to be more committed to the marriage, is to have that money together. I was grateful for that.
Yeah, it forces you to talk about every purchase.
Right now.
In my business, I was involved in quality, and you know, the key there is to keep a really small feedback loop.
Yeah,
and
sure.
if you know what you bought the week later, your spouse is going to know it, and you're going to have to talk about it. It sure saves years of having this sort of thing building up.
Yeah.
And you really can't talk about it at that time. You just, there's just too much.
How about food? Let's talk about one of the things you do spend your money on. Do you guys eat or even like the same foods?
This past year has been kind of an adventure. In January of last year, Dave decided we should go on a 6 weeks detox, and it was pretty much vegan, and not even just normal vegan. It was vegan without any sugar and without, like, any fat, and it was, like, only one cup of any starch at all a day. So it was pretty much fruits and vegetables, and that just about blew my mind because at that time, except for broccoli, I'm not sure if there was a vegetable I liked, but I liked onions and broccoli. And fruit, usually I was not really into eating fruit either. So it kind of just totally fried my brain to go on this eating plan where that's all I could eat. But God had been preparing me for it for about 3 years. Previously, I'd been doing this thing called Eating with God, and I'd gotten really big, 100 pounds overweight. And I've got nearly 70 of those off now, but God had been working on me anyway, getting me prepared for this thing that Dave was going to ask me to do. And I remember asking him, I thought, you know, before I went on this eating plan with Dave, I thought, am I supposed to do this? Because you've given me so much freedom now with food. I'm not sure that I should go back into bondage by being on a diet again, even for 6 weeks, even when my husband asked me, because I was feeling like God was healing me anyway, and why should I go back into bondage? And I had been so in bondage to eating and dieting and all that kind of stuff. And what was great was that he just showed it to me from, he totally spun it on me, and God just put it in my heart that I wasn't going back into bondage. I currently had the freedom to join my husband with joy and in this eating plan that would otherwise previously have blown my mind. And I thought, that's so funny. That's true. So we began this eating plan, and we did find that we actually are opposites in that too. I can eat some vegetables and stuff, but I think I'll be able to do it pretty soon here, but I still wasn't able to eat beans or tomatoes, and those were his favorite things. And I would have a smoothie in the morning, but he couldn't stomach a smoothie in the morning. He had to have a smoothie at night. And so we did have a lot of opposites that kind of bubbled to the surface here with this change in eating. But boy, am I grateful that we did it. I've just really learned to embrace this eating style, not just for the sake of saving the animals, but because there's just so much health to it, and I see that I was really hurting my body by eating a lot of the things that were just normal, everyday foods that I would eat.
Food has been the way that we've socialized mm-hmm. through our whole marriage. We've done well with that. I had a metabolism where it never affected me until I was 40, and then all of a sudden I gained weight at 40, and I don't like that. And my feeling was I'd be willing to never eat a steak again in my life if I could feel good or live better. So food is only, for me, something to make you so that you can have health.
Yeah, it's a big change for us in the past 2 years. We used to, that was what we would do on dates. In Warwick, there's not so much to do, and there's not even that many places to go out to eat, but we did enjoy to go out to eat, and especially when we traveled, we would always be eating out. And what we found is that now on this new lifestyle where we have much more fruits and vegetables, that's the predominant part of the eating plan, is that we can go to buffets. And it was funny because, Dave, last year when we went to Florida, we were just, you know, we'd gotten off the detox and we were still trying to incorporate this new lifestyle. And we were like, what are we going to eat? But when we got there, we kept going to buffets, and we go to either American buffets have wonderful salad bars, just absolutely wonderful salad bars. And if you go to a Chinese buffet, they have a wonderful, usually they have the Mongolian grills where they grill the vegetables and you don't have to have meat. So we went to Florida for, was it 3 weeks last year, I think? 3 weeks. Anyway, we came back and we'd lost weight on this trip eating at buffets every day. So that was really a fun discovery for us, is that we could still go out to eat. We still could have fun times in restaurants with people and still stick with a much healthier eating plan.
Mm. So obviously a major change there in terms of just your dietary habits. You know, one of the things that you talked about going out to eat a lot, one of the things that you guys did a lot was hosting people in and doing a lot of entertaining. Any changes there, or is that still a pretty predominant part of how you guys do life together?
lots less. What was interesting, in 1996, my first book came out, and it was Marnie's Kitchen Shortcuts, and I remember one of the things that sold the book to the publisher, which was St. Martin's Press, was that we were at that time entertaining over 100 guests a month, and I was doing that at a very low cost. So I had figured out ways to do it faster and do it less expensive. And so that was one of the things that sold the book. But what happened was in 2002, we bought a restaurant. And I remember just shortly before we took ownership of it, we were sitting on the couch one day, and Dave was actually praying for me. And he was praying about, you know, the Bible study I was leading and the Sunday school I was teaching and the girls' club I was having in my home and all the people that we were having over. And then he got done, and I sat back and I looked at him and I said, "You realize now that when we buy this restaurant, all that goes away." And he said, "Well, why?" I said, "Well, because I can't both," he was still working a full-time job, and I said, "I can't both manage a restaurant and do all those things." And I think, I don't know if that was a surprise to him. It seemed like at the time it was a surprise to him that I couldn't do all that. But anyway, I don't think he'd ever thought about it. And that was a huge change for me. At that time, we quit entertaining so much. But now when I look back at it, and actually we have a retail store that has an espresso cafe in it at this time as well. So we have these two businesses. And both of them, we're serving people all day long. We are entertaining all day long every day, even though sometimes I'm not there. Other people are serving on my behalf. And it's just a different way. So we still have people in, but not nearly as much.
Well, you do the entertaining. It's just in a different venue. So.
A whole different way.
We'll just make them pay for it.
We make them pay. That's right. We make them pay.
You make them pay. Every tour, you entertain them for free. So, Dave, I'm going to throw this question out to you, Dave. So who works harder, you or Marnie?
Marnie, definitely. Especially when I quit my job and bought the businesses, a couple years ago, the business, the retail store, had not been working for 5 years under my management. So I using my HR skills, I put myself on a performance plan. I had to turn it around in 60 days or I'd fire myself. And it ended up I had to fire myself after 45 days or my staff was going to quit. So, and that's one where, you know, the differences between you get to be advantage because I guess I never asked Marnie, but I automatically would hire Marnie as the supervisor to replace myself or the manager. I hate to supervise people. I think they're grown adults. They should be able to do the job that they're supposed to do and shouldn't take the babysitting involved with supervision, but people don't operate that way. But Marnie took over managing the store. She's got this internet way of connecting with women, mentoring women, and our restaurant she's always managed for the last 10 years. So right now I'm pretty bored. Marnie's working constantly, and I enjoy running the front till at the store. But it's not demanding like my job used to be.
Yeah, and I have such a different perspective on this. I just think Dave works so hard, and he does way, way more than he gives himself credit for doing. He's always jumping through hoops, and especially, it's maybe not the kind of hoops that he would love to jump through. That's what I think the difference is. Right now, I get to be doing the things that I love. I get to be managing, creating, touching lives, you know, just doing those kind of things right now. God has him in a place where he's doing a ton of fix-its. He manages all the computers. I think we counted one time, it's like, I don't know, 17 computers or some 12 computers between the businesses and our home, and there's always something going on with them. And we have the store itself is just 12,000 square feet, and then we got the restaurant on top of that, plus the home. Imagine yourself personally taking care of the equivalent of however many homes that is, the space of it, the upkeep of it, and the managing of all of that. He's on leadership boards with two organizations, and he's just an amazing example. He's always been an amazing example to me of just working really hard, and just maybe even more than working really hard, doing what needs to be done before you give it up. You know, just keeping, staying connected, staying nose to the grindstone until the job is done, and then relaxing. Then after that, having fun, but doing the work that needs to be done. So I value his work ethic so much, and I love having a partner that works as hard as I do. Makes me happy.
Yeah, we're getting pretty close to the end of our time together, and I know some of your listeners are going to want to have a little bit of an insight into some of your parenting skills and some of the things that were kind of the moorings of how you raised your three children. And so what are some of the basic tenets that you guys had landed on as parents that you want to share with the audience?
Parenting is really one thing that you take on having no experience, and then when you finally get experience, you have no kids. And from a business perspective, it's really frustrating that you could get put into a job like that with as little as you got. We had a couple that came in and taught a marriage seminar that was really good for us because it just went through biblical principles, and the Bible has a tremendous amount of principles on how to raise children. I think for me, I'm a controlling person. I know what I want. I'm going to get it. And with kids, that works to a point, but at some point, the kids followed my plan, you know, until their 20s, and at that point they need to do their own thing, but my mind wasn't ready for that. I just releasing kids back to God and saying they were a gift, and they're your God, they're yours, you know. I don't need to give them my opinion on how their life should be lived right now. You had brought up, is life going to make you bitter or better? For a while there in my life, I was tremendously bitter against God. I can remember telling him, you know, for 20 years, God, I prayed to you and I asked you for things every day for 20 years, and you didn't, not once did I pray for what's happening here. God, what are you doing? And then I realized that my prayers were totally messed up. I've changed the way I pray, found Colossians 1 is the prayer that Paul prays continually for the churches, and I've adopted that to pray continually for my kids and my family and my friends and anybody who wants me to pray for them. Pray for the things that have eternal perspective and not for the things I was praying about, that they would not have an accident, that they would have good health. You know, I was only praying for what we consider blessings. I wasn't praying for what God considers blessings.
Mm-hmm. Marnie, your thoughts regarding your parenting assignment?
Well, I think on the kind of more logistical side, we chose to homeschool, and that is a decision I never, ever regretted. There were days I wanted to resign, but I never regretted the decision. And so, you know, homeschooling the three kids, big, big emphasis on scripture memory with them when they were little. That was kind of my part of things. Dave's part, he would always get us all up. No matter how late we'd been up the night before or whatever, we'd be up at the kitchen table with him for breakfast before he went to work, and we would read through the Bible. And we would go for reading through the Bible every year, but, you know, most of the time we didn't actually do it. We would, you know, miss days and miss even sometimes a week or weeks, and we would just catch up. We would just pick up where we left off or pick up actually on the date or whatever and just keep going as if we hadn't missed anything and not make it a big deal, but just work through that. And I know that, you know, through the years, the kids got to hear the whole Bible cover to cover multiple times, as well as they've memorized many, many, many passages of it. And that's one of the things that gives me a lot of comfort, is to know that of all the things that they were taught through the homeschool education or whatever, that the Bible was at the center of it, and God's words, God's own words, were much more important than our words or than any words that a book could give them. And so I would definitely do that again. And then as far as the training of them, the one rule that we had was that we wouldn't let them get between us, is that we would just be a united front no matter what. And often that meant that one of us had to let the other person's decision stand, even though we would have made a different decision. But we just knew that oftentimes it's children that are used to destroy marriages. The kids will really get in the middle. They're very young. They're very self-centered, and they really don't see the long-term ramifications of pitting mom against dad. All they see is that it's a pretty nice, pretty nice lightning show or, you know, fireworks show whenever they go at each other. And then also, it's kind of nice for the kids because it gives them a feeling of control and power. And so that was one of the things that we just made a pretty conscious effort to do, is to not let them get between us.
Ben, this has been a wonderful hour, just listening to The two of you talk about some of the gleanings over the last 30 years of your married life, and we have just a couple minutes left. And so, Arnie, just want to take about 90 seconds. Anything that you would like to tell your audience? Anything else that you haven't already talked about? Something you'd like to say about Dave to your audience?
Well, first of all, I would say when you're choosing who you're going to marry, choose well. And I definitely married an amazing man. I am one of the rare women that I know that can truly say that I've never met anybody else that I could even imagine myself marrying. Dave has always been it for me, and I'm so grateful that he's part of my life. He's just, even though we're exact opposites, he is the perfect partner for me. I always say either I'm the tail to his kite or else he's the tail to mine, and we flip responsibilities depending on what we're talking about. But we give each other the balance, and oftentimes the kite wants to fly much higher and faster than is healthy for it, and that tail just keeps it in line and keeps it down a bit and keeps its head on top of it. And I'm so grateful for you, Dave, that you've been the tail to my kite all these years, and you've allowed me to partner with you. I'm very grateful.
Anything you'd like to leave the audience with about Marnie?
Yeah, Marnie's an amazing woman, and I thank God that he allowed me to marry her. I was 25 when I first met her, so a lot of life you have to really wait. God's taught me a lot of patience waiting for Marnie to marry, and then just seeing as he's worked in my life and to see the perspective that he's using Marnie to conform me to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And that the difference between me and Jesus Christ is so awesomely huge that it sort of pales in comparison to anything else. And, you know, I've got a lot of changing to do. And never thought I'd be this old. Never thought I'd be changing when I'm this old. I think I've changed more in the last 10 years than I changed in the previous, well, man, that's a lot of years now, 45. So, yeah, you'd never think that old people could change. Old dogs learn new tricks, but they keep doing it. So.
Well, Dave, there's a couple of us guys that are trying to dispel that myth that an old dog can't learn a new trick. Can't learn it. There's a couple of us.
You're not an old dog.
Hey, I just want you guys to know that both Myrna and I, we love you guys, and just extremely proud of you guys, Dave, both you and Marnie, and as we've watched your lives, obviously the last number of years, so a little bit more from a distance, but it's just been a great joy for us to watch you continue to navigate life successfully, continue to grow and develop as a man and a woman of God, and as a husband and a wife, continue to strengthen the marital relationship that you began 30 years ago. And just trusting that God's going to continue to bless the days ahead as he has in the days that are now behind you. And it's just been a joy to spend this hour with you and your audience. And I just want you to know that we love you and we're proud of you. Blessings be yours. Marnie.
Thanks, Roger.
Thank you, Roger.
Appreciate it. Well, thanks, Dave and Roger, for being here. And thank you all for being here today. I pray that God would bless you and your love life with your spouse, if you have one now, or your future spouse someday. And if you are hearing this live or during the period of time when it's just recently posted, be sure to go over to Wife SOS. That's Wife SOS, like in Save Our Ship, wifesos.com. And we've got a huge Valentine's Day training extravaganza going on for gals over there on Thursday, Valentine's Day 2013. So I hope you'll join us for that. Thanks, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.